A lot of churches are having outside services, drive-in services. You get to be in a nice, warm, padded pew inside a dry building. Praise the Lord for that. I appreciate the fact that I pastor a group of stubborn Baptists. I pastor a bunch of stubborn Baptists. I don't know if it's because you got a stubborn pastor or what, but we have gone 5 weeks while most churches were closed. And I'll just say this, not closed because of a government mandate. Not closed because in Ohio we were told we had to shut down. But because it was suggested. And churches closed their doors because it was suggested that they close. If persecution ever does come to America, I'm afraid Christians are going to roll over way too easy. Because it doesn't, we've learned one thing in the past 5 weeks, is it doesn't take much for the government to take control when people just roll over and let them do what they want to do. We've been blessed. I know a lot of folks have been complaining about Governor DeWine and the back to order, open order and all that, but really we have been fortunate compared to some of the other states. New York, Michigan, California, especially Los Angeles, some of those that have really been put under some strict regulations. And so in that regard, we are thankful. Let's just pray that this whole thing will pass over quickly. And pray that next time there's a flu bug, they don't realize how easily they can manipulate everybody and do it all over again. Because there'll be another flu next winter. There's going to be. There is every winter. So it's going to happen again. And let's just pray that we've learned our lesson. Proverbs 25 this morning. We start a new chapter in Proverbs. Chapter number 25. That should say 5. So my typos began really early on this lesson. I got verse 1 to 28. I got that right, but I put the 20, I put a 26. Okay, Chuck's on chapter 26. Chapter 25, verse 1 to 28. It says in verse 1, these are also the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. We read over in 1 Kings that Solomon wrote, 5,000 Proverbs? And those recorded in the book of Proverbs are his hit list. He was not a one-hit wonder. He had a whole lot of Proverbs that were at the top of the list. And Solomon has recorded the Proverbs from chapter 1 to chapter 24. But the ones recorded in chapter 25 were spoken by Solomon, but not recorded by Solomon. Because it says, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. I like that. Hezekiah was such a good king. He was one of the few good kings in the southern kingdom, 8 out of 20. But he was such a good king that he wasn't satisfied just with the 24 chapters, as it were, of the Proverbs of Solomon. He wanted more. And so he had his men search out more Proverbs. I don't know how that went down, but maybe Hezekiah read the first 24 chapters, as it were, read those Proverbs of Solomon, said, you know, I heard where Solomon said something else. It was recorded somewhere. Men, go find. Hezekiah was a king. He had scribes. Go find some of these other expressions and sayings. Google that. And see if Solomon didn't say something along this line. And so the men searched it out, and they came up with some 5 more chapters. Chapter 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29. 5 more chapters of Proverbs of Solomon. Solomon did not record, but the men of Hezekiah searched out, researched, and wrote down for us. What a blessing that is. We would not have these additional five chapters had not good King Hezekiah been hungry for more and had his men search him out. So that is a blessing. And here in chapter 25, our heading for this chapter is going to be those of whom to beware. Those of whom to beware. And these proverbs are categorized, are grouped together, and to give us some warnings of some folks we need to beware of. It's really only two groups here in Proverbs. The first group, you see there at the top, verse 1 to 7, is beware of sovereigns. Beware of sovereigns, and that's spelled S-O-V-E-R-E-I-G-N-S. And who are sovereigns? Well, sovereigns in biblical times were kings. In our days, they're presidents or politicians. Any person in leadership these apply to. And again, we've seen Solomon talking to his son in these earlier chapters or previous chapters and emphasizing to him as he's going to assume a part in leadership, he's giving him some counsel. And he tells him, you need to beware of the kings, beware of sovereigns. Oh, if you've read history, European history, the kings of France and England and Spain and Portugal and their dealings with each other and their marrying off of their sons to the other's daughters to get positions of power and all these different things. You got to be careful with trusting those in position of power. And so these Proverbs of Solomon, the first seven verses, give some warnings of bewaring, of bewaring? That's not a word. Of telling him to beware of some sovereigns. Verse 1 and 2, the first two. Beware of sovereigns because some are wise. That's verse 1 and 2. These also are the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Beware of sovereigns because they're wise. In verse 1, he gives us a royal example. A royal example of a king that wanted to search out a matter. And again, we're talking about Hezekiah himself. Hezekiah's father was a weak ruler. His name was Ahaz. His son, Manasseh, was a wicked ruler. It is believed that Manasseh is the king that put the prophet Isaiah to death. So his father and his son were weak and wicked, but Hezekiah was wise. There in the middle of those three generations, he could still seek after God. He could still want to have more information and more scripture and more of the Word of God. And so Hezekiah had his men, his scribes, copy out the sayings of Solomon and add to us, as we've said, five more chapters of it. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, but they're those which the men of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, copied out. When you read about Hezekiah in 1st or 2nd Kings, and you read about his reign, remind yourself that not only did he cause reform in Israel, not only did he try to get them back on track. In fact, I believe he was one of the last kings to actually do that. Three kings that did it. But remember that he was the one that wanted more of the Word of God. Wanted more of the Bible. No wonder he was so successful in what he did. Not only that, but they say that Hezekiah is the writer of some of the Psalms. We don't know that for sure. But he might have been they compiled some more of those Psalms and put them together. So he was a royal example of a wise sovereign. Beware of sovereigns because some are wise. Not only is there a royal example, but verse 2, there's a royal exercise. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. God doesn't have to search out anything. He knows everything. He knows the beginning from the ending. But he says it's an honor of kings to search out a matter. The king the governor, the president, even the dictator. It does them good to search out the root of a matter. How much more applicable, yeah, how much more of that can it be right now? It's too early in the morning for me. I had a hard time getting started today. How much more applicable can it be to us right now to see a king searching out the matter than to see our president trying to find out where this COVID-19 came from? A bat in the market, a test tube in a factory, somewhere over in China. It is the honor of kings to find out a matter. God doesn't care. He knows where it came from anyways. And He in His providence, folks, did not choose to stop it from spreading. Remember that. God in His providence did not stop this. It hasn't hit just America. It's hit the whole world. But He didn't stop it from getting to our country either. America is due judgment. We're ripe for judgment. We're deserving of judgment. We don't want judgment. But just like God judged those 10 northern tribes because of their wickedness and turning their back on God, God judged the 2 southern tribes 150 years later because of their wickedness and turning their hearts away from God. America for a long time has been in bad shape. You and I, in our day, we talk about 3,000 babies a day being aborted in America, and we just let the number roll off our lips like we don't agree with it, but basically we've accepted it, and God hasn't. We see the promotion of non-biblical values all around us. This same-sex marriage that started a couple of decades ago, they said, well, if you just legalize men with men and women with women, it'll all blow over. Well, it didn't blow over. It blew bigger to where they've got transvestite people in libraries reading to small children and them pushing their things. In this country, in America, we deserve judgment. Now, I know when I talk to this group here, we're against all those things, but our world is, our country isn't. Because they're proceeding at a fast pace. And so we need to understand why things are the way they are. And the honor of kings, it says, is to search out a matter. Find out why things are going on. Why they've happened that way. Pushing in that direction. Encouraging learning. That's the role of leadership. To encourage learning. To back exploration. To find out things. It's not their position to rewrite history, which I'm afraid has happened, but they're there to support things. Science is not our enemy, Christian. Science, true science, always supports the Word of God. And when we search out matters, like the creation story that's given us in the Bible, we find out it is true. When we find out what God says about Sodom and Gomorrah, we find out that it is true. It's good to search out a matter. And wise kings will have a royal exercise in searching things out, finding out why things happen. It is their responsibility to lead forward, to push discovery. So it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Some are wise. Verse number 3, some are wily. You remember that word, W-I-L-Y, wily coyote. Some are wily. You got to be careful with kings. One minute they have a smile, the next minute they have a scowl. With power, many times comes an imbalance. Again, if you read history, many of those with that power could change from smiling to scowling just like that. You could be in their favor one moment and out of their favor the next. Their heart is unsearchable. That's what the Bible says in verse 3. The heaven for height and the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Just like you can't reach the highest height, no rocket ship or satellite invented by man can reach the third heaven. And just as man cannot reach the deepest depths, we've not even gone to the depths of the sea, much less the depths of the interior of the earth itself. As man cannot know the heights or the depths, so the Bible says the heart of kings is unsearchable. We need to be careful. Because just when you think you've got somebody figured out, they do something out of character. It's nice to have leadership that is predictable to a certain extent. You know where they're going to stand on this or stand on that, but sometimes they turn so quickly and it's incomprehensible. We can't understand why. Why, after so much time in this direction, do they go to that direction? But really, if you read your Bible, it's really not that surprising, is it? I mean, here's Noah, who found grace in the midst of a wicked and corrupt generation and world. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and yet you read a few chapters and he's drunk, naked, in a tent. Out of character. You got to be careful. Just when you think you got somebody figured out. Abraham, the father of the faithful. You get that? The father of the faithful. That's what the Bible calls him. Down in Egypt, lying about his wife. Saying, she's not my wife, she's my sister. Not only there in Egypt, but not shortly thereafter in Gerar also. He told the same lie two different times. Abraham, the father of the faithful. When you think you got a guy figured out, you got to be careful of their character. Think of Moses, meek and lowly. Isn't that the way the Bible describes him when we meet him? I mean, so tongue-tied that God says, I'll give you Abraham as a mouthpiece for you because you just can't speak eloquently. Did I say Moses? Aaron. I'll give you Aaron. I'll give you Aaron, your brother, to speak for you. I caught that one because my wife was laughing, so I knew I said something wrong. Moses had Aaron, his brother. A lot of you didn't even know I'd made the mistake. That's how great you are. Aaron, his brother, to speak for him. He's just Moses, meek and lowly, and leading the children of Israel, 2 million of them, across the Red Sea. And then he's not allowed to enter the promised land because he'd lost his temper and smitten the rock when he was supposed to speak to it. Out of character. The Bible tells us that though the heavens are high and the earths are deep, the heart of the king is unsearchable. If these men, in those positions, lowlier positions basically, could turn from a smile to a scowl, how much more so leadership today? Be careful. Be careful in dealing with the mayor. This is no attack on the character of these men, but in dealing with the governor. Understand, they can turn quickly. Their hearts are unsearchable. Some are wily. You've got to be careful of them. Some are wise. Some are wily. Verse 4 and 5. Some are just plain wicked. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Power corrupts. We've heard that saying over and over again. Power corrupts. And sometimes when people get into power, it corrupts them. A governor gets elected into a position and all of a sudden has more power than he or she has ever had before. And they like it. And they begin to trample on the rights of other people. Because power corrupts. Now you and I would say, if I were ever the governor, if I were ever the president, boy, I wouldn't do that. And it's easy to say when you can't. But we need to remember that there are those that can, and usually when they get in that position, they take advantage of it. Some are wicked. Verse 4, how God searches motives. God is not just looking for what people do. He's looking at why people do what they do. God searches the motives. He talks about purification here in verse 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the dross from the silver. The silver is covered with a makeup on it that has to be burned off. It's burned off in the dross. The Bible says about our Word of God, we'll talk about it this morning, that it's like silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. The metal worker, the silversmith, would put the silver into the fire and burn that dross off, and the more he burned off the dross, the brighter and the purer the silver got. So here, Solomon's proverb says, take away the dross from the silver, and thou shalt come forth a vessel for the finer. Burn off the immorality of society. Burn off that which is impure. And that which shines afterwards shall be much brighter. We say you can't legislate righteousness, and that's true, but you can legislate right. You can say, let's put prayer and Bible reading into our public schools again. We can say, let's put an end to abortion on demand. In that regard, you can legislate right. You can burn off the dross so that the silver shines brighter. And that's the role of sovereigns. How to search the motives. If they would simply burn the dross from the silver, something much brighter would come from it. But instead of burning off the dross, it seems many times the politicians promote it. It is disturbing, it is saddening to find out that many times the politicians themselves are the leading drunkards, guilty of drug abuse, despicable in their lives and in their morality. And though a republic is a great form of government, when the leaders are more wicked than the people, you're in trouble. So the Word of God says, take away the dross from the silver. Stand for righteousness. Do that which is right. Burn off all that dross, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. How God searches motives. Verse 5, how God stabilizes monarchs. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Take away the wicked from before the king. Again, those with whom a leader surrounds himself will influence the direction in which he goes. When we're looking for someone in leadership, look at the kind of people that they hang around with. Examine. We call that in our day vetting. Now that's kind of a new term in the last few decades, I think. I don't think we use that term, though they might have done it. We've not heard that term used the way it is now. And that is vetting simply means when someone's up for a promotion or a position or an elevation of any kind, someone comes in and researches them and looks at them closely. Their finances, their family, their friends. They look at them before they promote them, lest they regret the promotion that they give. And here he's talking about that. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Again, the classic story we keep coming back to in Solomon's writing is that of his son Rehoboam, to whom he wrote these things. And Rehoboam, when faced with a decision, did not heed the advice of the godly older counselors that God had used in the days of Solomon, but listened to the wicked young men who were his peers of his age group. And when he heeded their advice, he divided the kingdom of Israel, divided it to the northern and southern tribes. Someone asked on social media recently, a missionary or friend put on there, what in your opinion is the key book in the Bible? I don't know if he said the Bible or I think he said the Old Testament. What is the key book in the Old Testament? And there's a lot you could answer. You could say Genesis, obviously, because that's the beginning of all things. Psalms is a great book. But I answered his question and I said 2 Kings. Because without 2 Kings, you don't understand Ezra and Nehemiah. Without 2 Kings, you don't know why Isaiah is preaching the way he does, or Jeremiah or Ezekiel. And without 2 Kings, you don't know anything about Daniel all the way through to Malachi, all the minor prophets, because 2 Kings tells us what happened to the kingdom. How it got divided in the days of Rehoboam. And that one story that took place so many thousands of years ago, because a king did not separate, he did not withdraw himself, he did not take away the wicked from before the king, and chaos ensued. Good godly counselors are necessary for good godly leadership. Beware of sovereigns, because some are wicked. Some are wise, some are wily, but some are wicked. Verse 6 and 7, some are wary. W-A-R-Y. Like be aware or be wary, be careful. When someone wins the lottery, they find out they had relatives they never knew about. I've heard the stories of some of these sports, these athletes, these stars that came from very low income areas and worked themselves up and became a basketball player and got popular, and all of a sudden they've got friends they never knew they had before. The same thing can be true of politicians. Now that they've got power, anybody in leadership, a CEO of a company, now that they've got some prestige and some power, they've got friends coming with their hands out. Friends coming trying to impress them. And Solomon foresaw that thousands of years ago and said, when it comes to these sovereigns, be careful, because they know what's going on. They're not dumb. They weren't born yesterday. They know what people are trying to do to promote themselves. So here we have in verse number 6, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. Know your position. Know your role. Beware of self-assertion. Beware of self-assertion, because they know when somebody's just playing the game, trying to be their friend when they were never their friend before, trying to side up next to them now that they're in that position. It's called social climbing. We've heard a lot of social distancing. This is called social climbing. Looking for that someone that's up there with a different position and trying to buddy up to them and befriend them for one purpose, to assert ourselves. Self-promotion. And the king needs to beware. He needs to watch of those that are trying to become part of his inner circle by self-assertion. Again, those ancient kings used to appoint their sons, their nephews, their cousins to positions of power in the government. And we say, well, that's not good, but they're the ones they knew. They're the ones they could trust because they were family. If you went to those that were trying to buck for those positions and do a power play to get it there, you never knew where they were going to end up. So a king needs to be wary of those that are promoting themselves, asserting themselves. Not only beware of self-assertion, but number 2, beware of false assumption. Beware of false assumption. Verse 7 is going to sound very familiar to you. You say, boy, I didn't know Proverbs 25:7 would be so familiar. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. All right, with self-assertion, there's the one that wants to be in the middle of the important group. He wants to rub elbows with the movers and shakers. And he'll assert himself into that position. And the warning in verse number 7 is it's better to stay back from that group and be invited into it than to push yourself into that group and be asked to excuse yourself from it. False assumption. Know your place. For better it is that it be said to thee, come up hither, than thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince. You know why that verse sounds so familiar? It's because twice in the New Testament we read about something almost exactly the same. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 6, Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees. And he said, they want the chief seats in the synagogues. When what would you think if somebody came to church here at Bible Baptist Church and they came and walked their way down, right down there and sat right up there? Somebody you've never seen before. Somebody you don't recognize or don't know. You say, well, that's not their position to go sit up in Brother Braden's chair. Notice I picked his and not mine. It's not their position to go sit up in Brother Braden's chair. And this is just, we're just a church. We're just in, you know, in our realm. But that was the problem with the chief Pharisees. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to sit up front in front of everybody when it wasn't their position to do so. Hey, when it's our position to be sitting in a chief seat, sit in it. When you're not called upon to sit in it, don't sit in it. That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 14. You'll remember that story also, almost these exact words. Luke chapter 14 and verse 7, I'll read it for you. And he put forth a parable to those that were bidden when he marked how they chose out chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden to any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he bade thee and said unto thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher, then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Beware of false assumption. Those that put themselves in places that they have not earned or do not belong. Beware of sovereigns. Some are wise. Some are wily. Some are wicked. Some are wary. Then our second grouping in Proverbs 25. Beware of sinners. And this will take us all the way to verse 28, the remainder of the chapter. We'll not get there, obviously, this morning. But he tells him to beware of sinners. Those of whom to beware. Beware of sovereigns and beware of sinners. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. Letter A, verse 8 to 20 is, look well to your fellows. He's going to give us four different groups of those to be aware of, or to beware of. And the first is your fellows, those around you. Number one, those who cause trouble. Verse 8 to 10, we just read those verses. Those that cause trouble. Watch out for yourself and for your friends, your fellows, because there are troublemakers out there. Did you know that? Those that are just looking for an opportunity to be contentious, a reason to argue or debate. Those who cause trouble, verse 8, they cause trouble because they're unable to control their tempers. Unable to control their tempers. Go not forth hastily. There's the word, there's the key. Hastily. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Some folks just like to stir up trouble. They're easily angered. Don't you worry about those folks. You got to tiptoe around because you're worried you're going to make them mad. Better not to even have any association. If you've got to be so careful, you're going to anger them. But some folks are like that. They want to cause trouble. And I think our daytime television is geared toward those kind of people. The doctor, I don't even, Dr. Phil or I don't even know the shows anymore, who they are. But they get the people on there and they're always screaming and yelling at each other. The only time I ever saw any of that, I was getting my tires changed at the tire place and they had the television on. I went outside. I couldn't stand watching more than a couple minutes of that. That was just unbearable. And I think people sit around their houses all day long soaking this stuff in. No wonder everybody's so stressed. No wonder they're so fearful and afraid. Unable to control their tempers. Watch out for those. Be careful not to jump into the fray with them. You know, the neighbor that'll go knock on the other neighbor's doors to try to line you up against the other neighbor? Watch out for them. Because there's trouble coming. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Not only unable to control their tempers, but unable to control their tongues. Verse 9 and 10. Unable to control their tongues. This causes much trouble. We should resist temptation if we can. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself. In other words, don't spread the gossip. Don't go around to the other people. Go talk to the neighbor yourself. Common sense, right? Debate thy cause with thy neighbor thyself and discover not a secret to another. When you have a problem with a neighbor, go to him. Sit down with him. Try to resolve it. Don't involve a third party. Don't try to get the other neighbors to take sides. Resist temptation if we can. And then lastly, we will reap trouble if we can't. Lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. We don't want to be known as a meddler in other men's matters, as a gossip. Lest he that heareth thee put it to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. We make a reputation by the things we do and the things we say. Pot stirrers, troublemakers. Guys, you can't believe, I remember working for a fella, you couldn't believe a word he said. You just never knew. We make our reputation by the things we do. We will reap trouble if we can. Beware of sinners. Look well to your fellows. Those who cause trouble. Next week we'll go to number 2 on the top of the next page. Father, thank you again for your word and the practicality of it. Lord, the timeliness of it. Lord, I pray again in the book of Proverbs that we would read it daily. Lord, to absorb its wisdom and the counsel and advice that it gives. Bless our morning service and those that come to join us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a short break and we'll begin our morning service.